This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Dona nobis pacem, pacem. Dona nobis pacem. Dona nobis pacem.
This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture, and I'm Tina Carmelia. I know, it's not the familiar voice of Front Row producer Lim Soon Heng. You might be wondering where he is. Well, you find out soon enough.
We all expect a gentle answer, Jew.
I have possessed the grace to what I purpose. And by our holy Sabbath have I sworn to have the due and forfeit of my bond. If you deny it, let the danger light on your charter and your city's freedom. You'll ask me why I rather choose to have a weight of carrion flesh than to receive 3,000 ducats. I'll not answer that. But say, it is my humor. Is it answered? What if my house be troubled with a rat, and I be pleased to give 10,000 ducats to have it banned? What, are you answered yet?
This is no answer.
That's right. While he normally does the interviews and reviews for Front Row, today we are turning the tables on Soon Heng and reviewing his play. Soon Heng is part of the KL Shakespeare Players, the group behind the Shakespeare Demystified series. This year, the group staged a bridge form of The Merchant of Venice. 2 days ago, they held a dress rehearsal at KL PAC. Several members of the media formed the audience, including some of us from BFM. Right after the dress rehearsal, Ellen Koh, the video producer for BFM, and Samantha Un, the Bigger Picture intern, joined me to share their thoughts on the group's performance. In the background, you might hear a pianist rehearsing as we find out whether all that glitters is really gold. So maybe we can start with whether you are familiar or not with the play.
I wouldn't say that I'm familiar with Merchant of Venice. I mean, I'm more familiar with the R&Js, the Hamlets, and the Scottish play.
I would say I'm like newly familiar with it because I just read it. So I've just read the play. I've not watched any adaptations and I've not watched any film adaptations either. So it's just the text that I'm familiar with.
Do you think that this adaptation, this version, this abridged version of it, do you think it worked for you?
I think it did work, especially with the narration. I thought that was very useful to help tell the story, because a long, long play and then suddenly you've got to put it into 100 minutes, I think it really, really helped having the narration.
Yeah, for me it worked really well. I think coming from almost no idea of how this play is, how it's performed usually, I thought it was a really good way to sort of introduce yourself to it, because you have like the important bits of the story and I don't feel like I missed anything from the actual text. I think they really did a good job at picking the right scenes. I thought that there were lots of notes of these, you know, really sad or really dramatic or tragic scenes, but you also have these light scenes, you know, these happy scenes, romantic scenes, and I thought they did a good job of pulling it all together, because it could get really choppy if you just had, you know, scene and then you had your explanation and then you go to your next scene, and it alternates so quickly even in the story itself. So I think they did a really good job of putting it all together, making it not feel as if it was forced, as if you just, you know, watch scene by scene and it's all just different parts that you're watching.
I think it'll be even better when there's a full house. We were watching it during a preview, and it's very important for actors to feed off the audience when it's a full house. It'll be a completely different story, a completely different experience for the actors. They will feed off the energy.
Do you think the Bard was a racist, or do you think the play is racist?
I don't think the Bard's a racist. I think he was purely bringing up a topic that he'd seen at the time when he was writing it, and the topic has now sticked and is relevant to 2016 and beyond.
I think he probably was a racist, actually. And I'm not, and I'm saying that's probably, you know, a product of where and when he was brought up, you know, and the environment he was in. So I do think he was racist and that there are definitely racist overtones in this play. But I do think that the way they told it, the explanations that they gave, really helped tone down and to look at it from a more detached point of view.
Do you think the minimalist setup, minimalist music, did all of that work well?
Definitely. I was quite curious. There were two boxes on stage, and they used it pretty well. They stood on it, they sat on it, they opened it to take out props. And also, I thought what was quite nice was the audience interaction. There's a substantial amount of audience interaction. I thought that was quite good to give the audience members a bit of a shock and a bit of a laugh. I think that was quite effective. I think for the main cast, especially, the acting was on point. I felt there was possibly maybe one thing missing. I think the main love story was possibly not quite there. The relationship wasn't, maybe the bond wasn't strong enough between the two of them, I felt. But I think this is probably because of the fact that it's a shortened version of the play. I thought the use of the different accents for the gold, silver and lead scene, I thought that was perhaps, the choices were perhaps a bit too extreme. That kind of took my attention away from what was being said. I was focusing more on the actual accents themselves and how they sound, how the accents sounded, rather than the actual text, when the text should be the most important thing.
When the comedy parts came up, that I had the most trouble following what they were saying. And I guess that's why they had to do physically more work, because it sort of translated what they were trying to do at that point. But the words got lost for me during those moments when they were really just too extravagant with the humor, and then I lost the sense of Shakespeare, I lost the sense of the story, and that sort of spoiled it a bit for me during those moments. Bassanio, I didn't really think he fully committed to that character, like in his physicality, the way he stood, the way he delivered. For me, it didn't really translate into the character that I was imagining from reading the story. And so his interaction with Portia, his interaction with Antonio, too casual. It didn't really have the drama, but it also didn't have a reality to it.
Well, especially in theatre, the status is a very, very important thing. And I felt Portia was very, very strong as a character. But on the other side, it felt very, very weak. Personally, I would have thought that the actors that played Portia and Antonio were more fitting for each other to play opposite each other.
I thought so. But I guess when you think about the constraints of the play, you understand that he was the narrator, and that's why he couldn't play another, I suppose, strong character alongside Portia.
Do you think that they overuse their perhaps strongest player?
Possibly, yes, that's true. You could see the narrator running up and down quite a few times. You could see him sweating. He was quite overworked, I would say. But if you asked me who else could have played the narrator, I couldn't give you an answer right now. I would have to have a think and probably watch it again.
There were a lot of strong characters, and maybe if they had taken turns telling the story, I think they would have been just as charismatic and they would have been able to pull off the narration as well. But maybe it might feel a bit more stilted that way. So I'm not sure how it would have resolved that issue, but I think they did the best with what they had. I have to say that I do actually, as a positive point, that I did really enjoy Shylock, and I did really...
You're a suck-up.
I am. I'm a huge suck-up right now. I understand that. But for me, I mean, when I read it, Shylock just didn't jump off the page for me. I didn't get the dimensions of that character. But when I watched it this time, I really just felt so heartbroken for Shylock and the things he had to go through.
So is he a villain or a victim?
For me, he's a victim that's pushed to villainous deeds.
Oh, I think this is a tough one. I think he is actually a villain that becomes a victim.
And Sam, you are an intern for the bigger picture, and you do a lot of work with Front Row and for Sun Heng. Does this meet your expectations and your standards as someone who's been doing a lot for Front Row?
Yes, for me. I think all the exposure that I've gotten so far from working on Front Row, it does. It definitely does. It probably influences me a bit that Sun Heng was in the play. But, you know, I can say with as much certainty as I can that neutrally, I think this was a really good play and a really good introduction to Shakespeare for most everyone.
Would you recommend this, and to whom would you recommend it?
Yes, I would definitely recommend this. I think it would be accessible and enjoyable to pretty much everyone except the most snobbish theatre goers, the most sticklers for pure Shakespeare.
Yes, I'd recommend it. I mean, Shakespeare is a completely different language for most of the world. And I think the production, it's a good introduction and a good interpretation to introduce people to Shakespeare?
The quality of Mercy is not strained, but if you don't trust a review, you can be the judge yourself. Shakespeare Demystified, The Merchant of Venice runs from April 20th until April 24th at KL Pack. This is Front Row in the Bigger Picture, and I'm Tina Camellia, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.